Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
This is it, all of it. I'm Allison Stewart. So here's a hot tip. If when you're reading Michelle Buteau's new book, Survival the Thickest, and you don't snort laugh and or completely tear up at least once, you should go to a doctor because you have no heart. In her book of 19 essays, the actor, comic, and now author writes about her journey from being the daughter of immigrants, a Catholic schoolgirl in Jersey, to recognizing her superpower of being really funny, to the long and heartbreaking road to motherhood. Michelle writes with great candor about the challenges of IVF and her four miscarriages before welcoming twins via a surrogate in 2019. Michelle has been busy. This year, she dropped her first Netflix special, Welcome to Butopia. She's a regular on the series First Wives Club, which is currently filming, and you can stream her recent film work, including Always Be My Maybe and The Happiest Season. In Survival the Thickest, she shares not just her saucy humor, but also her insights into body image, race, comedy, dating, marriage, and motherhood. As Publishers Weekly said in its review, Buteau's spot-on essays combine laughter with wise life lessons. Michelle, we are so happy to have you on the show.
Hi! Oh, my goodness, it's my sister from another mister.
For real. I think the reason we're not allowed to be in the same room is there's not enough room for our hair.
I know. Or our feelings.
Oh, Lord, that's so true. Okay, so I want to start talking about comedy. You know, you weren't a kid who grew up dreaming of doing stand-up. You know, when did it really occur to you, I might be able to do this?
You know, I hate to say it. I am a late bloomer, but that's okay. Nothing wrong with the slow simmer. I sort of just listened to what people told me I could and couldn't do. And so when I graduated college and started working as an editor in the newsroom, a lot of my coworkers kept telling me I was so funny, I should do stand-up. And so they just kept telling me this for, I don't know, a handful of years. I'd write emails about my day. They ended up forwarding them to other people before blogging. LOL, I'm so old, but I age well. And, I just sort of listened to other people who told me I was really, really funny.
When you first got on stage as a comic, what were some of the important lessons you learned that you still carry with you today?
Oh, my goodness. All right, Nopra, let's get to it now. Are we giving away free cards, too? This is crazy.
First of all, it's
my therapist today.
It's public radio. You know we can't give away cars. We do not have the cash.
We can give away cars on tote bags. Okay, so... so many lessons, right? Mostly that you are enough. Whether it's a good day or a bad day, you have to learn from it. Whether it's a good set or a bad comedy set, whether it's someone that is a good person that's done something bad to you, like you have to learn from everything that ever happens. Otherwise, it's just going to keep happening. Also, ownership. I really love that I am only truly in competition with myself. Mm-hmm. I know that the patriarchy likes to pit women against each other. That's why there's always like one woman in a comedy show or, you know, one black woman in a sitcom. And it's like, oh, man, she has what I want. No, you know, we have what we want. And it's up to us to decide when we're going to get it.
You know, this book is so funny, and you could have just stuck with the funny throughout the whole book, but you really take some time to talk about important and very serious issues. When you started to sit down to write the book, when did you realize that you wanted to have the balance, to have both?
I didn't realize any of it. I just missed the deadline, and I'm like, girl, you got to get this done. I don't know why I thought, oh, when I bring home the babies from the hospital, I'll have time to write. That was really crazy. But out of that, I do feel like there has been a shift, not only in my 40s, but definitely becoming a mother, and that, especially with this current administration that's on its way out, I feel like, wow, if you have a platform and you know that you already are funny and you could tickle people, it's like, well, then what else are you about? You know, and it goes to that saying, people will always remember how they feel. Okay, great. So you guys had a good time. But what do you remember? Be kind. We have to be kind to each other. Also, for someone who's a truth teller, and that's how I pay my taxes, is telling the truth and telling jokes. You know, the fact that I was going through all this IVF business for years and years and years, just sore and broke and sad, and that I couldn't share my truth on stage because people weren't ready to hear it. I wasn't even ready to talk about it. I didn't know that till now. I felt like if I'm feeling this way, and I have a lot of friends and people in the business that I could talk to, you know, how are those women feeling that have no one to talk to except for like their childhood friends, you know, that haven't even heard of IVF? So I'm like, this is important. You know, my mom loves me. She didn't know what to say after I had a miscarriage. And that's just crazy to me, you know? So I thought, God, if I could just help one person feel less alone, then, you know, I could definitely sleep at night.
My guest is Michelle Buteau. The name of her new book is Survival of the Thickest. So I actually listened to your book this weekend, and it is for anybody who's feeling a little bit lonely and just wants to have a friend come over and talk to you for a few hours.
Yes.
I recommend listening to the book.
COVID-friendly hang.
Honestly, I was wrapping Christmas presents. You were with me all day Saturday. I had a glass of wine. What was that process like rereading parts of this book? Because some parts are tough.
Oh, my God. Terrible. Horrible. You know, I am not the type of comedian that likes to film myself and watch myself back to figure out where I can punch up jokes. You know, I'm just like, I put it out there, just leave it. But, you know, writing a book is not that. This is final print forever, like an emotional tattoo within 230 pages, on and on and on, forever till the end of time. You have to mean what you say. And, yeah, it was pretty hard. But my husband is so sweet. He talked me through it. He's like, you got this. You know what you want to say. Coffee helps. Boxed wine keeps party going. All the things.
I want to play a part of the audiobook so people can understand how much emotion you put into it. And this is a kind of a difficult passage. It's you were working at WNYC, excuse me, here in New York City during 9/11. You were on the overnight shift and you just plan to like go home. And then, of course, we all know what happens. And you have to stay at work and you have a very difficult task because you're an editor. And I want people to check out this passage. This is Michelle Buteau reading from her new book, Survival of the Thickest.
The havoc and destruction that followed after those buildings came down, coupled with the knowledge that these were people, innocent people like me, who simply just showed up for their shifts just like I did. There just aren't any words. I was scared for my safety, but felt like I needed to stay, to help any way I could to make a difference. I worked furiously for hours, no bathroom breaks, just looking through a terrible video of a smoking building on a constant loop. I felt a hand on my shoulder, turned around. It was Beth, who was also an editor. And she said, go home, you're relieved. And I felt like I could just melt onto the floor and take a nap. It was an emotional marathon of go, 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 go. And the minute she said stop, I left, and it was 6 p.m. And when I got home, I called the English muffin, and he was grounded. And we hooked up, and we were just in awe with what happened. And I don't really remember entirely. I just know that I need to feel something other than grief. I couldn't talk about what I saw in the next few months for at least 7 years. I would go into editing and work on what felt like a real-life horror movie. and one of my jobs was to make one-minute B-roll of the buildings with no bodies jumping from the windows. And that was my job. I didn't want to edit these people out. They were already being erased. I didn't want to help with that. And my gut was telling me I wasn't cut out for this.
That's Michelle Buteau reading from her book, Survival of the Thickest. How did that experience, I mean, I think it changed the way everybody thought about the future for you. How did it change how you felt about your future?
I mean, it really just is a constant reminder of what is really important and what is precious. And, you know, I'm pretty affectionate, but now it's not for, like, now I really mean it. Now I will always hug somebody before I get on a plane, or anytime I get off the phone with someone, I love you. And these are the things I love about you. If I sign a birthday card, it isn't just like, LOL, happy birthday. It's, these are the things I appreciate about you. And, you know, I'm not paranoid, but there always is that thing in the back of my mind where I know that we are not here forever. Mm-hmm. And it's not up to us. And so we really have to live in that moment. And, yeah.
Yeah, tomorrow's not
that
promised.
Part.
Just, yeah. My guest, Michelle Buteau, the name of her book is Survival the Thickest. In your book, you write about several men who could, like, were kind of Mr. Right Nows. They were good in the moment. But, of course, you also write about reading Mr. Right, your husband. Let me see if I can do this. Heiss?
Yeah, Heiss. That's right.
Heiss. And you met him at a club, but he was here on vacation, long distance from Amsterdam. And you had this long-distance relationship for years. So you have this interracial, long-distance, culturally different relationship.
Mm-hmm.
What made you decide to invest in this person? Because that's a lot.
That is a lot. We were a whole season of 90 Day Fiancé. This was just a lot. But I don't like to be cliche because I didn't even know. Mm-hmm. You know, when you know, you know. I didn't know. The only thing I knew was we wanted to always see each other or talk to each other the next day. And how can we make that happen? And that's really what we went off of. And it's so important for people to realize when they're in love, right? Like, let's not overthink it. If this person makes you feel good and makes you feel like you want to be a better person, that's a sign. If you want this person to be your first and last phone call, like, good news doesn't even really matter until you tell that person, then that's your Christ, everybody. So don't overthink it. Don't overthink, you know, the miles in between or the commas in the bank account, because you can always change all that stuff, but you cannot change how someone makes you feel.
In the book, you detail going through IVF and all that that entails and all of the details. You're so candid about it. You ultimately wind up realizing surrogacy is the right thing for your family. If you could explain something about surrogacy, if you could dispel something about it that you've seen written or you've heard said, what would that be?
God, so many things. Where to start? I think the biggest thing that I was really taken aback with is that people thought it was like a rich person thing. The government has made it very expensive, and rightfully so. These women are walking angels on earth, and they deserve everything they get. But it for it to be nearly impossible, and people think like, oh, you're going to go do this because you have a lot of money to spend and you want to work. Or people also think like, oh, you don't want to ruin your body or something and keep your waist tight or whatever the nonsense I was hearing was. But no one ever said, wow, are you okay?
Mm-hmm.
What led up to this? Wow, you must really want a family so bad. that you'll just go to any length to have one. No one ever was coming from that place except for the medical professionals that I was dealing with. And so I guess those two things and really like just no empathy, like just no understanding of what that world means. So, I think we have to listen to people, to our friends, our family members, if they're going through something, if they still can't quite figure it out, and not judge them. You don't have to fix it. You don't have to give them an answer. Well, you need this diet. You need to work less. You need to sleep more. We have to stop telling people what they need and just let them figure it out and be a shoulder to cry on.
So these adorable little nuggets, Hazel and Otis, who are almost two. So you have twins who are two. Now, do you and your husband, do you do zone defense or man-to-man?
Look, it does truly feel like I'm in a dryer, so I can't, I cannot even answer that. Whatever works, it's not even day-to-day, it's hour by hour. I forgot that they grow. They're different. Yeah, they are very different. So it's every day. It's a whole lesson for them and for us.
No matter how much someone wants to be a parent, there's a moment when you ask yourself, "Why did I do this?"
Oh, for sure.
What was that moment recently?
Oh my goodness. I mean, I think when we first heard about quarantine, I'm like, 2 weeks? Wow, how am I gonna get through 2 weeks without the help of our nanny? And then when it was just like a month this summer, we'll see what happens this year. It kind of felt like I had been snorkeling for the first time, where I'm like, this is so beautiful, but I just don't know how to do this. We really kind of hit our stride like maybe a month in, where, you know, we got to know them on a different level, which was so nice. But, you know, we were tag teaming to use the bathroom. And I was like, okay, this is what it is. Like, I just spent 2 hours making three meals for them, and half of the food ends up on the floor, and I'm hungry. And I thought, okay, like, I don't judge people if they don't want kids. But then I really understood why people don't want kids. I was like, oh, I get it now. I get it. You want to come home and eat and watch a whole show and live your life. And I get it. You want to sleep through the night. What I love about husband and I is that we really thrive in the chaos, or at least learn to.
The title of your book is Survival of the Thickest, and you're really good about walking through and talking through body image issues. And, you know, I think if there's a girl out there who's reading your book, who's like looking in the mirror and being cruel to herself about her appearance, what do you want her to take away from your book?
Oh, man, it gets better. It will get better. Don't wait on the magazines or the casting director or just society to tell you that you're beautiful. You are, and you have to know that for yourself. And whatever you need to do to figure that out, do that. You know, if you want to wear whatever you thought you couldn't wear, it comes in your size now. Go ahead and wear it. You know, if you thought that you could never hook up with that person, of course you can. Take it till you make it. It'll make you feel better. Whatever you want to do, you can actually do that.
You've been shooting the First Wives Club in Atlanta. How's it going?
It's wild. You know, it's so many emotions wrapped up in one day. You are in a bubble. We're COVID tested every day. We're on high alert. You know, we wash our hands every 30 minutes. Everyone is doing what they're supposed to do. And then all of a sudden you take your PE gear off and then you have to act. And I'm not going to lie, I had a little panic attack the first day because I just haven't been around that many people.
I bet.
And that was something I really had to get through and realize that everyone's been tested and there is a chance that something can happen, but we're being safe. And at the end of it, and my friends always remind me about dropping a Netflix special and a book, like, in the worst year, that people need Black joy. Like, people yeah. need content. And so here we are.
There you are. The name of the book is Survival of the Thickest. Michelle Buteau, thank you so much. Congratulations on the book.
Yes, thank you so much, girl. Hope to see you soon one day.
Bet. This is all of it.